Well, we're back, and we're going to be joined by travel journalist Joyce Major. And she's going to share with us a little-known, unique way to travel around the world. Welcome to Talking Travel, Joyce.
Thank you.
I find it quite amazing when I read through your article and had a look at some of the things that were up on the website. Tell us a little bit, before we get into the actual article itself, tell us a little bit how you got started with this.
Well, it actually started from one trip that I took to Israel on an archaeological dig.
Right.
I just kind of saw the information and thought, oh, I've never done anything with that. That's a way to get to Israel. So it kind of started with that, and it was so much fun because I was traveling alone, and yet I was with a whole group of people. And I learned so much that I guess the idea came to me that I could actually take my trip around the world as a volunteer and just go from country to country and do different things.
It's amazing. So you went to the website, you did some surfing, and you started just to doing this research and ended up volunteering for what you say was like 11 different projects around the world. How amazing is that? I think it's absolutely the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. It's just wonderful. And let's go on and share this with those that are listening.
It started out that I thought, okay, I should make a list of the countries that I'm dying to go to.
Right.
And so that was a really long list.
And you figured you'd like take one, a minimum of 1 month in each,
Right, because I wanted to have enough time to actually feel the country.
Right.
You know, like 1 week or 2 weeks, that just kind of is settle in time, and then I'm gone. And on a personal level, I wanted to relax enough and know that I was going to be there so that I'd actually feel like I was a part of what was going on.
Which is quite contrary to what most people do as Americans. I think, you know, the Europeans always take a minimum when they travel 3 weeks because they get a lot of vacation time. So everybody tries to cram it in 1 week or 2 weeks and say, oh, yeah, I've been to Paris, I've been to London, I've been to this and I've been that. But they really haven't.
Their presence was there, but they didn't get the experience. I don't travel really well quickly. I like getting kind of a sense of a place and to really get to know, like, one group of people.
Right.
And, yeah, so that's why I thought a month minimum.
So you became the queen of Google.
Yeah, I did. And luckily, I'm good at it. And so I kind of started doing countries, and then as I was looking for volunteer things in countries, every once in a while I'd see something that really sparked my interest or scared me. And if it scared me a little bit, then I thought, oh, wait, maybe I should volunteer doing that. Like going to see lions scared me, so I thought it would be a good idea.
To get over it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, why not? You know, you might lose a toe or something, but who cares, you know. I'm looking at the photos that you have up there, and there's a couple little cubs lying across your legs.
Oh, that was an unbelievable experience, just to have these little baby cubs get attached to each volunteer, and then we got to feed them baby bottles. And lions are wonderful, and they are a little scary too, the bigger ones.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. So now you made up a list of the places you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
Well, then I started to go, like I knew I wanted to go to Australia. And so I started to Google volunteer Australia, just generally. I mean,
right.
Part of the trip was that I wanted to do, like, anything that was new. And so I'd get a ton of volunteer experiences. And then I'd have to go through and find out which ones actually fit my budget, because some were very expensive for a year-long travel, and the others were much less expensive. So I kind of had to narrow down, okay, what is each one, how much is it going to cost? So it was kind of a country first, then experience, then budget.
Now, explain to our audience, if you will, the cost, because even though you're volunteering, there is cost involved in this, obviously, in addition to airfare.
Right. With the ground root sanctuaries, when you volunteer with them, since they're pretty poorly funded, you're covering your own room and board. And so even though everybody eats as a group,
right,
you chip in. So it can be, I think when I was at the monkey sanctuary, it was about $100 a week. The kangaroo sanctuary was $100 a week. But the I think the lions were more like $400 a week. And so the catch is, who is making the extra money, and where does the money go for?
Right.
So.
And that it's not being used as a gimmick.
Right. It can be used as a gimmick, or it can be used for an organization maybe that's just making money. You know, it's a corporation that's making
right.
money on hooking up volunteers,
right.
which is fine. But maybe the money isn't actually going to help the earth.
So it's a two-sided thing. One,
mm-hmm.
it's a destination. It's your budget. And three, is the money going to where it really should be, or is this just a way of getting people to visit a particular area so the corporation can make money?
Right. Right.
Okay. So.
And I didn't know as much about that as I do now. Now I have access to probably more sites that actually are completely free and do even pay your room and board. And it also depends on how long people are going to stay. Because a month, just about the time they get you trained, you're gone. If you stay 2 months or 6 months, then you're actually a huge asset to the organization. So they will give you free room and board sometimes.
Right. And that's a long time. I mean, one obviously
right,
has to have
right.
that.
But there were, like, I really wanted to do something with dolphins, and I couldn't find anything less than $1,000 a week.
Dolphins are very popular, especially, that is a very popular choice.
Yeah, so it's also weeding through to try to find the actual groups instead of the groups that are selling the tour. If you don't want to spend as much money, if you've got an unlimited budget, then you've got a wide open choice all over the world.
And of course, when I was in Roatan in Honduras, they have a big open dolphin area there where there are a number of people. But I never did get a chance to ask them. I never thought of asking them the question of did they do that on a volunteer basis or were they actually paid for it. The accommodations were really cool because it was right over the water, but dolphins. I can understand why that would be.
Yeah, there's sea turtles. There's a lot of sea turtle sites around the world that actually are free that involve camping on the beach and walking the beach to check on the sea turtles, which doesn't sound like a bad deal.
Right, sounds like good to me.
There's a lot of fun things to do that kind of fit anybody's interest.
Right. Now, let's touch on some of the places and some of the things you do, because it's really quite amazing. And some of the places that you visited.
Uh-huh.
Let's discuss some of those.
Okay.
Why don't you start?
Okay. China was probably a real big surprise for me. They gave me a classroom of 70 kids and freedom to teach. And just said, just speak, because this is an English class that we want them to understand speaking, so just go ahead. And I said, well, can I tell them anything? And they said, yeah, just, you're in charge, just teach. And so I taught them about America and the time differences between how little kids go to school here compared to the long hours that they do in China. I taught them Beatles songs, because that seemed like a really easy poem for them to learn.
And you were up to date on your Beatles songs?
Yeah, I'll never forget my Beatles songs. Or I went to the internet sometimes and wrote them down. And we also did the boys there, and there's a huge number of boys in the classrooms, love the NBA. I mean, they love the NBA.
Right.
And so we did U.S. geography according to the NBA. So I just went around. And that I had to do my research at the internet the night before, because I didn't know where the teams were. But that was a fun unit. So that one was really wonderful. That elephant sanctuary in Thailand was amazing. the tiny little woman has started a sanctuary to rescue abused elephants. And it's really elephant heaven that she's created for them. They have love and attention and food and then a bath every day and a beautiful life compared to a pretty wicked life that some of them had before.
And you put a cost to this of $275. Some of these you put costs to $275 a week. You know?
Right, and that money all goes to bananas and pineapples and everything else that is important to elephants.
And then you went to Perth, and that was $100 a week, and it was a kangaroo sanctuary, I guess.
Right, and that one of the things that's really fun about the trip is you get to meet people that are just so passionate about helping the earth. And this is a woman who originally was from England, thought she was starting a bed and breakfast, and found an injured baby, Joey. The mother had been killed in traffic, and then now she's got an entire sanctuary full of rescued kangaroos.
And
So my job there was to feed the Joeys and get the bottles ready. When they'd go out with a big gang of kangaroos, it was to make sure they were safe. And then just learning about them.
And then you went to South Africa. You went to the Lion Park in Johannesburg, which we were talking about, the lions, and also the baboon monitoring in Cape Town.
Yeah, the baboon monitoring ended up being my Jane Goodall moment. the baboons there are supposed to stay in the park, but they're very smart, and they figured out that if they raid people's houses, they get way faster food without having to graze.
Yeah, they're pretty
and
smart.
So it's constant. They're always trying to get into the village to raid the houses. And so I joined two monitors trying to keep the baboons back. And you do that by shouting at them, which the monitors, they listened to. Me, they didn't. So that was pretty fun. But the picture that's on the website, one of the women who's been very instrumental in saving the baboons, she invited me to come sit with the wild troop. So that's actually a wild baboon.
Just looking over your shoulder here.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
He took a fancy to me, and we were sitting there, and I'm just looking at all these baboons, and Jenny said, "Joyce, just stay real quiet. There's a male baboon coming behind you."
Uh-oh.
And it's like, a male baboon. They've got, like, enormous jaws. And I don't know what he's going to do. And all of a sudden, I feel this warm body pressed against me. And I see these little black fingers on my arm. And it's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do?
Right.
And but he was so gentle. He ended up grooming my hair. And all these little fingers are magically going through my hair to see if I have any
those
lice
little,
or tick.
Yeah, amazing.
So, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Now, we're just about out of time, but I'd like you to mention that you are working on a book called Smiling at the World.
I am working on a book. Yeah, I had so many people who loved the emails that I sent and so many people who said, "I don't understand how you organized all this," that I thought, you know what, I want to write a book about this.
Well, so, way to go. And when can we expect to be hearing a little bit more?
You know, I'm going to say, how about this fall? I think it should be published this fall.
Sounds good to me. And if they go to www.smilingattheworld.com, they probably can keep up to date on it.
That's true. Yeah, that site should be launched the end of the month.
Joyce, lots of fun. I'd like to talk to you more about this at another time, and we thank you very much for sharing all this with our audience.
All right, thank you.
Right, bye for now.
Bye.